Hello, brilliant minds, and welcome to the ninth episode of the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast in 2024. As we sail through the vast seas of knowledge, we're thrilled to have you on board for another riveting quiz experience. Whether you're a seasoned quizzer or a newcomer, get ready for 20 questions that will spark your curiosity and challenge your intellect. A quick reminder of the rules. 20 questions. Escalating difficulty, and a mere 10 seconds to unravel each mystery. Can you handle the pressure? Remember, one wrong answer and it's game over. To our loyal listeners and the inquisitive minds joining us for the first time, your support and curiosity fuel this intellectual journey. Got a burning question or a mind-bending quiz idea? Reach out on X at 20 Questions Quiz or drop us an email at 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. Thank you for downloading this podcast wherever you may be in the world. So, buckle up, knowledge enthusiasts. Here we go again for the ninth time in 2024. Let's see if you can defeat 20 questions. Here we go once again. Settle back, settle in. Let me begin with question number one. We start very, very easy, but we do get harder as we go along. Number one is this. According to the proverb, you cannot judge what by its cover. According to the proverb, you cannot judge what by its cover.
Five, four, three, two, one.
According to the proverb, you cannot judge a book by its cover. A book is the right answer. Question two. The iPod, the iPhone, and the MacBook are all products made by which company? The iPod, the iPhone, and the MacBook are all products made by which company?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The iPod, the iPhone, and the MacBook are all products made by Apple. Apple is the right answer. Question three. What is the capital city of Germany? What is the capital city of Germany?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The capital city of Germany is Berlin. Berlin, the right answer. Question four, sport. What is the highest score you can get with three darts in a standard game of darts? What is the highest score you can get with three darts in a standard game of darts?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, two-thirds of the audience that listen to this podcast are from the UK, and this is a national sport, you could say, in the last few years in our country. The other third of the world, maybe, I may have tripped you up already. In a standard game of darts, the highest score you can achieve is 180. This is accomplished by throwing all three darts into the triple 20 section of the dartboard. The dartboard is divided into various sections, each with different point values, and the triple 20 section is the highest scoring individual section. Therefore, three triple 20s in a turn results with 60 points per dart, totaling 180. Question 5. What is the chemical symbol for carbon dioxide? What is the chemical symbol for carbon dioxide?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The chemical symbol for carbon dioxide is CO2. It consists of one carbon atom and two oxygen atoms. Five down, 15 to go. We're up in the ante, getting a little bit more difficult. with question 6 on the animal kingdom. What is a baby swan called? What is a baby swan called?
Five, four, three, two, one.
A baby swan is called a cygnet. Cygnets are the young offspring of swans and typically have grey or brown feathers, which later change into the adult swan's white plumage as they mature. Question number 7. Films. What was the first film in which Daniel Craig played James Bond? What was the first film in which Daniel Craig played James Bond?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The first film in which Daniel Craig played the iconic character James Bond was Casino Royale, released in 2006. Casino Royale is the 21st film in the James Bond series and serves as a reboot of the franchise, depicting the early career of the British MI6 agent James Bond. Daniel Craig's portrayal of Bond was well received and he went on to play the character in subsequent Bond films, including Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, and No Time to Die. Question number 8. Which musical includes the songs If I Loved You and You'll Never Walk Alone? Which musical includes the songs If I Loved You and You'll Never Walk Alone?
Five, four, three, two, one.
An iconic song, You'll Never Walk Alone, isn't it? And the musical in which includes that song and If I Loved You is in Carousel. These classic songs are featured in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel, which premiered on Broadway in 1945. Carousel is known for its beautiful score and poignant storytelling, and the mentioned songs are among its most well-known and enduring compositions. Question number 9. Words. Pulchritude. That is P-U-L-C-H-R-I-T-U-D-E. Is a term to describe someone with what? Pulchritude is a term to describe someone with what?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Pulchritude is a term to describe someone with physical beauty or loveliness. It refers to the quality of being exceptionally beautiful, attractive, or aesthetically pleasing. The word is often used in a literary or poetic context to convey a sense of elegance and attractiveness. Question 10. Kublai Khan was emperor of which country? Kublai Khan was emperor of which country?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Kublai Khan was the emperor of the Mongol Empire, specifically the Yuan Dynasty in China. He ruled as the fifth great Khan of the Mongol Empire and later became the founder and first emperor of the Yuan Dynasty, reigning from 1260 to 1294. Kublai Khan was the grandson of Genghis Khan and played a crucial role in the expansion of the Mongol Empire into China, establishing the Yuan Dynasty as a major political entity in East Asia. 10 down, 10 to go. Halfway through this edition of 20 questions. Are you still standing? They are quite tricky this week, aren't they? Questions to come on currency, historic firsts, ancient Egypt. But first, we go to children's literature. What is the surname of the children in the children's book Peter Pan? What is the surname of the children in the children's book Peter Pan?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
In the children's book Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie, the surname of the children is Darling. The main characters are Wendy, John and Michael Darling. They are the siblings who, along with Peter Pan, embark on adventures in the magical world of Neverland. Question number 12. Which American film actor was born Joseph Yule Jr.? Which American film actor was born Joseph Yule Jr.?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The American film actor born Joseph Yule Jr. is better known by his stage name, Mickey Rooney. He was a prolific and versatile actor who had a career spanning several decades with roles in numerous films, TV shows and stage productions. Mickey Rooney's career began during the silent film era, and he continued to be a prominent figure in Hollywood throughout the 20th century. Question 13 of 20. What is the currency of the Czech Republic? What is the currency of the Czech Republic?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Czech koruna is the official currency of the Czech Republic. It has been in use since February the 8th, 1993, when the Czechoslovak koruna was split into two separate currencies following the peaceful dissolution of Czechoslovakia into the Czech Republic and Slovakia. Question 14 of 20. Which occupation would be most likely to use a Snellen chart? Which occupation would be most likely to use a Snellen chart? S-N-E-L-L-E-N.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now this one tricked me up. A Snellen chart is a tool employed primarily by eye care professionals, such as optometrists and opticians, to assess and measure visual acuity in individuals. It is those charts you see in opticians all over the world, with all those letters from big to small. The chart consists of rows of letters and symbols, each progressively decreasing in size. The person being tested is asked to read the characters from a standardized distance, typically 20 feet or 6 meters away. They assess how well a person can see at various distances and identify any refractive errors such as nearsightedness or farsightedness. A Snellen chart used by optometrists and opticians everywhere. Question 15. Historic firsts. In 1877, Spencer Gore was the first winner of what? In 1877, Spencer Gore was the first winner of what?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
In 1877, Spencer Gore was the first winner of Wimbledon. He won the inaugural men's singles title at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club in Wimbledon. Spencer Gore's victory marked the beginning of one of the most prestigious tennis tournaments in the world, and Wimbledon is now world famous in the sport of tennis. 5 to go. Questions to come on ancient Egypt, athletics, history, phobias, and food. They are the five that remain on this edition of 20 Questions. We've made it difficult for you this week, haven't we? Question 16 of 20. If you are still standing, fair play to you. But will a question on ancient Egypt make you come unstuck? 16 of 20 is this. What was a shadoof in ancient Egypt? What was a shadoof in ancient Egypt? Spelt S-H-A-D-O-O-F.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, in ancient Egypt, a shadoof was a simple yet effective irrigation tool used for lifting water from a lower level, such as a river or canal, to a higher level for the purpose of irrigating fields. A shadoof consisted of a long wooden pole with a bucket or container attached at one end and a counterweight at the other. The farmer would lower the bucket into the water using the long pole, fill it, and then use the counterweight to lift the water and empty it into an elevated canal or irrigation channel. This manual irrigation device played a crucial role in the agricultural practices of ancient Egypt, enabling farmers to harness the waters of the Nile River and effectively water their crops, contributing to the success of Egyptian agriculture. A shadoof basically is a bucket with a long pole. Question 17 of 20 is on athletics. Who was the first woman to run a mile in under 5 minutes? Who was the first woman to run a mile in under 5 minutes?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Diane Leather, a British middle-class runner, made history on May the 29th, 1954, by becoming the first woman to run a mile in under 5 minutes. This landmark achievement occurred at the Alexander Sports Ground in Birmingham. Leather's accomplishment was particularly noteworthy as it demonstrated the breaking of a significant barrier in women's athletics. Diane Leather's record-setting mile run showcased her exceptional talent and determination. At the time, breaking the 5-minute barrier for a mile was considered a formidable challenge, and Leather's achievement paved the way for future generations of female middle-distance runners. Leather's accomplishment occurred just over a month before Sir Roger Bannister became the first man to run a mile in under 4 minutes, highlighting the groundbreaking achievements in middle distance running during that period. Three to go on this edition of 20 questions. Question 18 of 20 is this. Which historical foreign monarch once worked incognito at the British Royal Shipyards in Deptford? Which historical foreign monarch once worked incognito at the British Royal Shipyards in Deptford?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, this is an amazing story that I found doing my research this week. In 1698, Peter the Great of Russia, the Tsar of Russia, embarked on a journey to Western Europe, seeking knowledge and skills to modernize his country. During his visit to England, Peter had a strong interest in shipbuilding and naval technology, recognizing the importance of a powerful navy for Russia's geopolitical ambitions. To gain practical experience and insight into shipbuilding techniques, Peter decided to work incognito at the Royal Naval Dockyard in Deptford, a prominent shipyard in London. He took on the role of an ordinary labourer, adopting the alias Peter Mikhailov. During his time at the dockyard, Peter engaged in various manual tasks, working alongside skilled craftsmen and labourers. His hands-on experience provided him with valuable knowledge about the latest shipbuilding methods and technologies employed by the English. It is said that he even lived in a modest house in Deptford to fully immerse himself in the experience. Peter the Great's stint at the Royal Shipyards in Deptford played a crucial role in shaping Russia's naval capabilities. Upon his return to Russia, he implemented significant reforms, drawing inspiration from the advancements he had observed in Western Europe. Peter's efforts to modernize the Russian Navy contributed to the expansion of the Russian maritime power and played a pivotal role in the country's future geopolitical influence. Question 19 of 20, two to go. The penultimate question on this edition of 20 questions deals with phobias. Atelophobia is a fear of what? Atelophobia, A-T-E-L-O, phobia, is a fear of what?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, if you've got this question wrong, maybe, just maybe, you are atelophobic. Because atelophobia is commonly described as the fear of imperfection or not being good enough. Individuals who experience atelophobia may have an intense anxiety or fear of making mistakes, being criticized, or falling short of their own or others' expectations. This fear can be associated with perfectionism and may impact various aspects of a person's life, including work, relationships, and self-esteem. So we have made it once again, 19 down, one to go. This is the question you need to get right if you got the previous 19 right, and fair play to you if you have. Question 20 of 20 is a fascinating tale, and it deals with food. Question 20 of 20 is this. A restaurant called The Right Spot in Pasadena, California, is attributed as the birthplace of which symbolic staple food? A restaurant called The Right Spot in Pasadena, California, is attributed as the birthplace of which symbolic staple food?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, have you got it? Have you got this question right? This is the question you need to get right to defeat 20 questions. And it deals with this restaurant called The Right Spot in Pasadena, California. And it deals with a young man called Lionel Sternberger. He was 16 years of age, a young employee at The Right Spot during the 1920s. And he is often accredited as the man who invented the cheeseburger. The cheeseburger is the right answer. Burger by name, burger by nature. According to legend, Lionel Sternberger was working at the restaurant when he decided to experiment with the traditional hamburger by adding a slice of cheese to the sizzling beef patty. This simple yet innovative idea resulted in the first known instance of a cheeseburger. The heat from the cooked patty caused the cheese to melt, creating a delicious and savory combination that captured taste buds of those who tried it. The cheeseburger's popularity quickly spread beyond the confines of The Right Spot, and it soon became a standard menu item in diners, restaurants, and fast food establishments across the USA. The concept of adding cheese to a hamburger has since become a culinary classic, with numerous variations and toppings reflecting regional preferences and individual tastes. But it was The Right Spot's accidental creation of the cheeseburger that has left an indelible mark on the world of food. And the cheeseburger remains an iconic and beloved dish enjoyed by many people around the world. This restaurant's contribution to culinary history is celebrated as the origin point of a cultural phenomenon that has stood the test of time. So remember, next time you have a cheeseburger, it was invented at the right spot in Pasadena, California. But did this quiz hit the right spot for you on 20 questions this week? How far did you get? Let me know on X. Matt in Nottingham, he got in touch on X and is a big fan of the show. He very much enjoyed the question on George Issa last week. Matt, thank you for listening. Spread the word, and spread the word wherever you may be in the world as well. Thank you so much for your attention this week. Don't forget, 20 Questions returns on Thursdays and every Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you may be. From me, Johnny Bryan, thank you so much for your company wherever you may be. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.